Now, you believe that Jesus married Mary, and then he apparently lived a much longer life than many people had thought, living some 40 years beyond what people had thought. Why the story change, Lawrence, from the crucifixion, his death, the resurrection? Are you saying the resurrection occurred or did not occur?
Well, what we have to bear in mind here, George, again, is the original documents from which our New Testament, as we know it, was compiled. And, you know, at the Vatican, even now, we can go back to first century gospel documents. I mean, not the other gospels that were found at Nag Hammadi and places like that, but the original gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, and others, and they're held there. And the one thing that is blatantly obvious in those is that in the biblical story, and this ties in with the Roman annals as well, because they record it, the annals of Imperial Rome, the story moves us to a point where Jesus is charged with some form of sedition and is brought before the governor of Jerusalem for trial and ultimately is sentenced to execution. Now, the Roman annals make that point, and so did the Gospels, but the interesting thing is that that's where the Gospels stopped. They stopped at the point where Jesus was sent for crucifixion. The remaining verses that follow after that, the whole story of what I suppose one could sum up as being the resurrection,
right,
that part of it wasn't added in until the 4th century. It was never contrived until that period of time. It was written to complete the story. Because at that time, these Gospels, these Good News editions that were being promulgated in the first century were turned by the emergent church into a jolly good basis for an emergent new style of Christian religion. And
well,
so
do you believe,
to complete the story.
Do you believe, Lawrence, that he possessed the kind of spiritual or supernatural powers that we were all led to believe?
Yes. I have no problem with any of that. I mean, nobody survives through 2,000 years as a major figure without there being something a little special, or maybe a lot special. So no, I have no reason to doubt that Jesus, in his time, was probably a more important character than the Bible gives him credit for. Yeah, I mean, even Josephus, in his Antiquities of the Jews, written in the first century, he calls him Jesus a king. He calls him a wise man. You know, I mean, what's written about him is praise. And the strange thing is, of course, that Josephus was a Pharisee, and he was writing basically a Jewish book. And the way that he portrayed Jesus in that book was almost as a Christian might have done in later times. So that's a really intriguing point. There were many people in those days, as there are now, who have particular powers. Now, it might be that we all have those powers, but only some of us have worked out how to use them successfully. But in terms of healing, faith healing, or whatever, hands-on healing, these sort of things, in terms of prophecy, I mean, all of the things which we know of today were paramount then. And in the area of Galilee, Samaria and the Judean desert, the wilderness as it was called in those days, there were a lot of people, Magians, Essenes and others, who were really specialists in these sort of fields, and like they were regarded as physicians and philosophers and whatever, and Jesus' background really appears to be among that. So yeah, I would credit him with all of that.
If he lived and got married, had children, what, two boys and a girl?
Yeah.
That bloodline has got to be out there somewhere, Lawrence.
Yes.
Where is it? I mean, how far did it go? What did it go into?
What we have, as with all family records, are that there are registers and accounts that are kept. I mean, for example, now it's very easy to look up in the directories of peerage and nobility and to trace family lines. But you and I and other people would have a problem once we got a few generations back, you know, tracing us, because we're not recorded as being the senior people in any particular line. So where you get senior line descendants, these are recorded, but I did a calculation a few years back. I got fed up really with everybody misreading what I'd said, as if there was at the end of this line one person that should be king of the world or something, which is quite ludicrous. I calculated that if a couple of people in the first century had a couple of children, and then we just progressed that, and each of those children married and had a couple of children, and so it went on two by two, and we forgot the fact that some people don't have children, and some have more than two and whatever. The calculation for the year 2000 was that from that couple, a 26-digit figure of people would be, new children would be born in that year. 26-digit. There's only a 10-digit figure in the number of the whole population of the world today. So what we achieve is an impossibility, and what we actually achieve as a result is that any one of us, all of us, could find, if we knew how, a route back to any couple going back that far. So the bloodline is disseminated, the bloodline is diluted, that the bloodline has moved through so many marriages outside itself that it doesn't exist anymore in any original sort of state. But in the early days, of course, in terms of its senior line, senior son, senior son, senior son, senior daughter, that sort of thing, the records were there. And certain families came out of that and are quite proud of their records. And in essence, what we see is that an aspect of the line gave rise to some of the noble and royal families in Europe, but that doesn't make those people special today. It hasn't made them special for centuries. You know, because of all the other reasons.
What a bloodline, though! What a bloodline, William. What's your take on this then? Do you agree with William and his theory?
With Lawrence, absolutely. I mean, especially with the Magdalene legacy, it became absolutely crystal clear in this work that, look, there's been a conspiracy. He calls it the Jesus and Mary bloodline conspiracy, and he lays out the one key document, the donation of Constantine, which we've got to hear about, and he also talks about the persecution of the original heirs of that family by the church authorities, and it's an astonishing story that most people are simply not aware of.